Call the meeting to order here for today's commission meeting. First up will be the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. Wow, this is nice. With all the court activity today, the seats are all warmed up, ready to go. Okay. All right, next up is going to be approval of the agenda for today. And let me go through a whole bunch of changes right now. We're going to move item number, let me find it here. Item number 13 is going to go between items 5 and 6. Okay. And then on page 2, item number 14, if Jeff Fontaine walks in, which is probably doubtful, we'll put him up no matter what we're doing. We'll stop and we'll let Jeff come up and do his thing. So that's going to be a question mark. Items 16, 17, 18, and 19, and 20. Items 16 through 20, we're going to continue all of those. And
what meeting are they going to be continued to?
What's that?
What meeting are they going to be continued to?
At this point, to March 19th.
Okay. Yep. And let's see. Okay, I believe that's all we have. So, with that, approval of the agenda. Are there any other changes anyone needs to make on the today's agenda? Mark?
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Mark Joseph Phillips, Story County resident. Today's Tuesday, the 19th of February, 2013, and this is the discussion before possible action item number 4. Before the approval of the agenda, I've sent correspondence out to the commissioners. At the last meeting, it was by a 2-0 vote. The commissioners agreed to table a claim for $4,500.
Is this a change that you want to make on today's agenda?
Well, that was continued to this meeting, and it's not on the agenda, so could we please add that discussion to the agenda?
Well, we can't, so that's...
So y'all moved to continue a claim? Did you cut the check already, or...
Mark, can't do it.
Well,
if it's not on the agenda, there's no discussion.
But at the last meeting, you both agreed to continue to this meeting. How could you leave it off the agenda?
I don't know. I don't write the agenda. It's not on there. Okay.
Can we have the clerk make sure that my objection and my what bill?
Flap my hand.
Yeah, I want the record to reflect that I object to the continuation of a $4,500 claim not being on the agenda today.
Okay, no problem. All right, Dunfer, you have a change to the agenda today.
Yes.
Okay, what would you like to change?
Well, my name is Gunther Prosser. I'm from the River District, Lockwood, and I would just like to note that this agenda packet was not put online until 12:25 on Friday, and Monday was a holiday, so basically we only had 12 hours, 6 hours on Friday, and 6 hours on Tuesday to put that.
When I tried to download it this morning, I couldn't get it either.
Okay. But in order for us to review the resolutions...
What are you changing on the agenda?
Well, I'm just questioning whether this whole agenda should even be discussed today.
Okay.
And then secondly, I'd like to have number 9, treasurer report, put on the agenda for discussion.
Okay, then on consent, move down. Okay, we'll move number 9 down. Off the consent. That's Dunner. Anything else?
That'll do it. Thank you much.
Dale, changes on the agenda?
No, I don't have any change on the agenda.
Well, we're not there yet. Okay. Any other changes on today's agenda? All right, looking for a motion to approve with the...
I'll make a motion to approve today's agenda.
With all the changes, I have a second.
I'll second that.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Number 5 is discussion, possible action. Approval of minutes for January 7th, 2013. Any discussion or comments on that? Come on up, Mark.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Again, Mark Joseph Phillips, Story County resident. Discussion before the approval of the minutes for January 7th, 2013. That's a long time ago, isn't it? And there's two other meetings in January the minutes aren't going to be seen until after y'all get back from Washington. But going back through the minutes of January 7th, I'm looking at the bottom of page 1, and at that time I was concerned about a violation of open meeting law down in Mark Twain. It's pretty vague here. There was a quorum of commissioners present. Well, at that time, I provided evidence from open meeting law. The minutes do not reflect that I submitted correspondence on proving my case. And maybe that's just case closed for me on that one.
All right. Any other comments or corrections, questions on the minutes? All right. Motion to approve.
This time, Mr. Chairman, I move for the approval of the minutes of January the 7th, 2013.
Okay, motion.
I second the motion.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Item number 13, then, is resolution 13-367, honoring Ron James' career.
You didn't.
Denny.
Public comment, number 6.
I already changed that.
Okay.
Come on up.
All right. I'm going to defer that to our chairman for the BCTC, Mr. Yager, to send that award.
Okay. Very well.
I got changed that. Yeah.
Correct. Thank you.
Over here.
Are you Irish?
Hi. I am an Irish miner. Thank you very much for giving me the opportunity, as an old hot water plug, to say a few words about Mr. James. I really am representing, of course, the entire board, VCTC. I guess I'm representing a few other folks that over the years have worked with Mr. James. And that would include scores of people on various boards, for example, the Fourth Ward School Board that he worked very closely with over 3 decades, of course. The Piper's Opera House Board, the Cemetery Board, Gold Hill, The list just goes on. St. Mary's Arts Center. If I miss anybody, if you take umbrage, I'll buy you a drink afterwards, because I'm just doing this from memory, and the memory isn't what it's always been. But the point is that Ron James has worked with countless individuals here on the Comstock, and his good works involve not only his books and the writings of his lovely wife as well, but he has brought millions of dollars to the Comstock. And if you are as old as I am, you would remember when certain buildings that have been restored, I don't know if Commissioner McBride would remember this, but when the Opera House was not open and was in disrepair, the only way you got in that Opera House was through the back door, which was left ajar, or the window, and then you went up and played imaginary games on the old basketball court. The same was true of the St. Mary's Hospital Art Center, when it was in total disrepair, and the only way in was when John Bowie, the old store, the old keeper of the place, left, and we would sneak in. Same with the Fourth Ward School that you see today, and you think they are magnificent buildings. I assure you, it's only a few years ago that you'd sneak in the Fourth Ward School and run up and scare the pigeons out. I never did that, but a lot of my contemporaries did. Since Ron was involved, and any number of citizens who realized that we had a treasure, many treasures, and we had to take care of them, his influence you cannot overestimate. And I would add to a couple of friends that I deal with once a month where ROI is a very important ingredient, return on investment. The investment that Ron James has helped bring to the Comstock, multiple million dollars. We are still a return on investment, and will continue to reap long after everyone in this room is gone. So, Mr. James, there is an official proclamation. Come on. You have to come up. And I have to get my glasses out. It's appropriate to read the proclamation now, Mr. Chairman. I even brought a paper copy because I was afraid I couldn't read it. But I will hand this to you. And then I will read it for the audience. And this, if you get a chance, take a look at it, because it is another wonderful work from Bruce and Linda Larson, and it not only has the script on it, but it also has the pictures of so many of the entities that Ron helped preserve. So, a resolution honoring Ron James. Whereas Ron James, historian, folklorist, native Nevadan, has faithfully served the citizens of Story County for well over 30 years. And whereas Ron James' contributions to the preservation of Story County's historical buildings, including the Comstock Firemen's Museum, Fourth Ward School, Gold Hill Historical Society, being the V&T Depot, Piper's Opera House, St. Mary's Art Center, Story County Courthouse, as well as many others, are immeasurable. And whereas Ron James has been instrumental in coordinating multiple archaeological endeavors that have led to great exposure for the Comstock across the world, and whereas Ron James' professional skills in several capacities have served to make Story County a place where you can truly step back in time. And therefore, let it be known to all present that the Board of County Commissioners of Story County and the Virginia City Tourism Commission do hereby resolve to commend and honor Ron James for the exemplary service to the people of Story County, Nevada. Passed and adopted today. I'm going to do one other thing, because, you know, an old Irishman who actually dressed up today and has a microphone needs just two or three more minutes with your consent, sir.
By all means.
If I were going to, Susan, would you come up, please? Because this is lovely. If I were going to change into another costume, this is kind of a costume for me, for those of you that know me. I see some other costumes, too. I would immediately, as I was doing this, and this is a very senior group, so you don't have to have a screen in front of you. You can actually use your imagination. I think everybody in here has noticed. So I'm putting on a felt hat, and I'm putting on probably a cotton or wool jacket, and I've got a pair of pants. They're clean, but they're pretty well worn. I've got a pair of shoes that I hope will last through the rest of this winter. And in one hand, I have a tin, which is pasty. For those of you that aren't as familiar with the Comstock heritage, that's what a lot of the folks took underground. That was their dinner. And in the other hand, I have a candlestick holder. It is not the one that you put on the dining room table for Thanksgiving. It's the one that you stick in the timber 3,000 feet underground. And so that's who I'm representing today, the miners. What Ron and Susan have done beyond the dollars that Ron has brought in is they have done what all of my ancestors, all of the people that I talk to on a regular basis. Paranormal is big here, by the way. And I'm not going to give away my secret, but I've been talking to the folks up there. I also talked to a few that are down there from my family. They're working their way up, so I have to, full disclosure, they look at the square set from the bottom up rather than the top down. The one thing they're all concerned about is that the story of the Comstock is told the way it should be, not fictionalized, as we've done to the West as a whole. And so they said when I talked to them, you do two things for Ron and Susan, because Susan is an author and a helper and has written the history of the Fourth Ward in her own right. They said, you tell that young James couple on behalf of all of us, thank you. And you also say in Irish, Solange, which is a toast. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, Ron, for everything you've done for us over the years up here. I can tell you that working with you has been a great pleasure, and would you like to say a few things?
Well, I should say in Irish, Cora Magat, which means thank you, and then Falcharoa is you're welcome. So I'll one up you on the Irish. Yeah, that's right. But you know, it's and Susan has been instrumental. If ever I flagged on my, and got tired, because as we all know, the Comstock can sometimes wear you down. Susan would say, no, you got to keep on going because it's too important. We can't lose it. But it's a team effort. And Pat, you've been wonderful. And your predecessors have been wonderful. And your predecessors, previous Story County Commissioners, not all wonderful, but most wonderful. and have really always stepped up and helped out. And business owners and residents all. So we all work together to accomplish this, and I'm glad what we have accomplished, and I hope we can accomplish a lot more. The Comstock, a lot of buildings look a lot better than they did 30 years ago. You know, as your county manager, Joanne McLaughlin, and I went through the Fourth Ward School in 1983 and said, do we save it or not? Because it had a life expectancy of 2 years. It was in pretty bad shape. And it ended up, that was the Emergency Recovery Jobs Bill Act of 1983, because the economy had slumped and it was the stimulus package of the day out of the federal government. And we said, do we spend it here or not? And as a result, out of $283,000 that were spread throughout the state, that received over $70,000. So it got the lion's share, the whole state, not Las Vegas, you know, not Reno. It came here, and people have often said, well, you do that because you're living there, right? And, you know, I'm not a resident, but it's an important place. You know that. So many people here know it. It's important that people outside the Comstock know it as well. So thank you for all you've done to help out. And,
thank you.
And I really appreciate it. And thank you, Ron.
Certainly, yes.
I'd like, before Ron leaves, because who knows when I'll get to speak again, I'd like to personally thank you. You are the one person from the state of Nevada that I relished calls from. I have to tell you, nothing's better than to get a call at 1 o'clock in the afternoon saying, I've got an extra $45,000 of unclaimed grant money. Now, here's the deal. If you can flip $5,000 to Knights of Pythias or any of these other well-deserving groups, 40 of it's yours. And most importantly, as we focus on the B&T Depot, the Fourth Ward School, the courthouse itself, I think this is the one man in the state that I've known that has left his handprints in places that no one will ever find. There are grant documents upon grant documents in my office that Ron and his staff worked together with me, Mary Lou, Holly, Sherry. There are things like we did a structures preservation study years ago because the emergency management people had us all living in fear of the Wells earthquakes and all these types of things. And the study came back, as studies do, and said, you have a right to be worried, but this sucker's going to burn down before it falls down. And because of that, today you see trucks out in the parking lot, I believe, from United Construction and Miles Construction working on the electrical safety issues that this grand old building has had. So in a million ways, Ron, I thank you for everything you've done. You're a good man.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Ron. And thank you, Ron.
Thank you.
Okay. With that, next up, public comment.
Chairman?
Oh, we need to vote on the resolution.
Oh, sorry. You do have to do that. And looking for a motion to approve the resolution.
Mr. Chairman, gives me privilege to move that we pass this resolution honoring Ron James today.
I'll second the motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right. I think that takes care of that. Okay, public comment again. Who's up? Sean.
Good afternoon. It's great to come on the heels of Ron's presentation. I've known Ron as a fellow author for years. Congratulations. I want to talk to you today briefly as a citizen of the community, not having anything to do with our organization. At the last commissioner's meeting, Austin reported that the mine is going to start hauling 16 hours a day, 7 days a week. And you'll recall that during August, at the height of the planning commission meetings, when there was like 300 people in this room, because I was there, they agreed to make a good faith effort and haul 10 hours a day during daylight, 5 days a week, for the good of the community, which was a compromise, and I respect them for doing that. They said that there would only be 3 trucks on the road at a time, and they said the track out, the dirt that's left on the road, would be minimal. In the intervening 6 or 7 months, much has changed, and I would respectfully ask you to ask them to keep their agreement that they made in good faith with the community. I know we have to live here and work together, but moving the hauling to 7 days a week, 16 hours a day, although they did not start that, but they did start working on the weekends this weekend, does impact our quality of life. Twice last week, myself and my staff were following 5 trucks on the road, twice. There are now 6 major divots on the road that are tearing up our tires between the ingress and egress sites. The track out is sufficient such that when I come down the road, as I did this morning, after snow, I slide, like slide off my track with a 4-wheel drive. So I would respectfully ask you to have them come back and keep their good faith effort that they made with us as we work through this process until they can get the road to haul and the American Flat Road approved. I know we're in this together. This is an unwilling marriage, but I'd like us to try and work together and keep the agreement that they made, because they made it in good faith, and we agreed to that in good faith. That's all I have to say.
Comments, questions?
Thanks, Sean.
Thank you.
Sorry, I haven't done it.
Good afternoon. My name's Gunther Prosser, and under public comment, I see that you are under closed meetings for labor negotiations, and I would just like to point out that I hope that with the new commissioners and with the new HR person that we can decrease the salary and benefits of our labor costs. When our budget, 60 to 65% of that budget goes to salary and benefits, it doesn't leave much for the other things that we need to do. So I just wanted to say that we, the people, would like to get the salaries decreased so that we, the people that are paying the employees, are making more than the people that are paying their salaries. Thank you.
Questions, comments?
Patrick Flanagan, resident taxpayer. I'm not representing VCHPOA. First of all, I wanted to thank Story County District Attorney for drafting proposed list of decorum rules for county meetings. We sure need them. And we need the commission to follow the rules as well as the intent of the open meeting laws. Maybe it's time for a refresher course. He had asked for suggestions and comments. I have two areas of suggestions. Any form required prior to speaking should be made available on the Story County website for easy reproduction, and it should be interactive. Form should be printable after filled in on the screen. My real concern is that the three-minute limitation is not sufficient for reasonable public comment and should be increased to at least 5 minutes. Questions by the commission should be postponed until after the speaker has finished or used up their minutes, and should not penalize the speaker from having a full amount of time to express their positions. This is just common courtesy. I also believe that some accommodation should be made for those handicapped, that is, on oxygen or having trouble breathing while speaking. I ask that these suggestions be given serious consideration by the commission. The draft was based upon Washoe County, and this is not Washoe. Our meetings generally are not as intense or as well attended, and we can allow a bit more time for taxpayers to express their concerns or ideas. I'd also like to remind the commissioners that the public who comes to speak are doing so on their own time, not getting paid, and to some degree paying you as their government employees to listen. One must assume for them to make that effort, it means that they believe they have a serious matter to bring before the commissioners. Their comments are made in the interest of improving our community. As a result, I'd suggest to the commission that they listen with an open mind and hold no preconceived notions as to what might be said. I encourage the commissioners to ask questions or clarification after testimony is given, and also think that the commission should give a brief idea of what action will be taken, if any, when appropriate. This builds credibility and trust. And that's it. And I thank the commissioner for listening. And I did under my 3 minutes.
Let's see if Dale can do that.
Huh? There's copies for the
Who's up next? Dale, you going to go?
Yes, so I can get up here.
I'm Dale Beach, Mark Twain Estates. I got the capital concern is I have a meeting on Friday with the Board of Equalization. I'd like a change of venue. I don't think that the people, there's nobody going to sit on that board that I'm not after money-wise. And I'd like to go somewhere else, to New York or Vegas or something like that, to have my hearing. And thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Marshall, for coming down and seeing us. We enjoyed you. We're going to have you down as often as you'll come. And our survey. First question's going to be in the mail tomorrow. Five in place of three commissioners. We want that because we feel we can deal better with elected people and we can't appoint people. We've got a whole bunch of appointed people and we need more controls than we've got. The guy was up here ahead of me, he's talking that we're paying overpay. Yes, we are overpaying everybody. We've got the same union for clerical help that the state's got. And they start out at 12 bucks and something. We start out at 18. We've got operating engineers represent our sheriff's people. They're probably 40% higher here than they are in Lander County. And Lander County is a big county, 7,000 people up there. But those guys are the culls because the mines take the cuts out of the workforce. And the public sector has always been were the ones that didn't make it out in the real world. He went to work for public and that's the fact. And then we've got here in management, we wasted $50,000 a year on those lean-tos down there by the jail. $50,000 a year for 6 years, 300 grand, gone. Management problem. Okay, we've got a county manager that we're putting $163,000 in. I don't think we need a county manager. We got administrative officer, $80,000. Mineral County's 38.5, 52% lower. Lander County is $50,029, 38% less. Okay, we go to property appraiser too. We pay $49,000. Go to Lander, they pay $34,999, same job, same qualifications. We got a public works director that's got six people. He makes $96,000. Go to Mineral, $49,800. We got a fire chief that makes $116,000. You drop over to the hill to Mineral, $44,000. That's 62% more. We're good when we're down with the state set like our DA. He's not getting overpaid. Our sheriff's not getting overpaid. Our assessor isn't getting overpaid. Those are locked up. We need to develop a system to where everybody that comes on staff here that's not represented by a labor organization is pegged to the state. Then I don't have to go fight the state to every time we put in a new classification. I don't have to go ask the state to step on you and set it in the legislation. Because those are decent rates. And they get a raise every 2 years. And there's something else kicking in. I looked at the assessor because she's on the tag from the state to get $63,000, and she's getting $68,000 because there's some mechanism in here that gives them step increases in place in top of what we get from the legislation. And those people in there are paying half their PERS, and for a single guy, their health insurance is $3,600 deductible. Glass coverage, they'll pay a piece of the examination and nothing for the glasses. And we're sitting here Cadillacing everything. And we don't act like there's been a recession, and we don't act like there's any end to the money. And there's a whole, we're paying how much? $10.3 million in 11 we paid on wages and benefits. And probably we could do it on 6 and still run just like we do, but we'd have a lot less of these directors. And we give 5 commissioners. I've got this survey program going, and I want some cooperation from the county. If we can get everybody with a name that they can, what do they do on computers? Somebody tell me. They got a name anyway. Like he has Buffalo Bill. He got a name tag for they. Everybody's got one. Give everybody in the county one, and every 3 months, we send out a survey, your questions and our questions, and we'll get the answers back. We can have the 5 dumbest people in the county being on the county commission. They won't have to do any thinking. These people send these answers back, yes, no for this, yes, no for this, and then there's your questions. No problems. Do what the people want. Every 90 days, they can pop these out. The people like me that don't have a computer and aren't computer literate, put one over in my firehouse. Janet and some other locals can come in and help. I've got a tag I can put on there, and I can put my thumb in it or my eye scanner, whatever. But then the people are running the county. You folks don't have to wonder whether we want five county commissioners or whether we want three. Just let us say. You say, oh, well, we're going to let you do that on your own, go out and get 25% of the voters to sign it. Then you're making us do that. Right off the bat, you're forcing us to take an adversarial position. If you say, let the people vote in 2 years, put it on the ballot, everybody got a say, and I'll live with whatever it is. And if you want to put on the ballot, do we want all these directors, county manager, controller making 126, administrative officer making 109, fire chief made 178? Let the people say what they want.
Yep.
Well, is my time up?
I say, yeah, I'm probably for today.
Okay, thank you.
And next meeting, too. I'll stop you 3 minutes.
Stop?
Next meeting.
Did I only get 3 minutes today?
Huh?
I'm sorry. I thought you'd agree that I could have five due to my...
You've already taken six.
No, you got a little, about six and a half.
You took Pat's 2 minutes that we took away from him last time.
It's cumulative, see, so... Yeah, next commission meeting will deduct 3.5 minutes. And I got to tell you, Dale, that every single one of us county employees is absolutely ashamed of how much money we take from you taxpayers. Just
good. Good. Did that wait for it? Did that have a room? We'll chop it.
All right. Who's up next? Any more? No?
We're going to be raising his taxes at the Board of Equalization meeting so we can...
Okay, we are down to consent agenda. And we have removed one item off of that, so looking for any further discussion on the consent agenda. Okay, looking for a motion to approve it then with the one item being removed.
And then the continuation of the other four, is that or five?
Hmm?
And the continuation of the other five?
Yeah, you don't need to do that. All we're doing is just strictly on the consent agenda.
Very good. All right. Mr. Chairman, move for approval of the consent agenda, with the exception of number 9.
Okay.
I'll second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right. Item number 9. Let's discuss that one. January 2012 Treasurer's Report.
Mark,
get up here if you're going to do it. Or we'll just approve it, and you won't get to say nothing, children.
Well, that's happened before, so... My name's Gunther Prosser again from the River District, and... I just have one concern on the Treasury Report, account department number 190, which is our park fund in regards to our building permits, the money that comes in as a building permit. Our general fund back in a year ago was $6,456.22, and it stayed that way since then. I have requested documentation from Mr. Gallagher and Mr. Dotson in form of a letter, and on October 9th I received a letter back from Mr. Gallagher, and let me back up a little bit. On September 21st, 2010, there was a resolution passed 10-312, which is supposed to take that general fund for the park fund and distribute it into four separate park funds. And the dollars amount was supposed to be listed. As of October 9th, 2012, almost 2 years later, that still has not been done. In the Treasury Report, there are disbursements of $434, and I would just like to know which park that disbursement went to or came from, and when will the general fund of the park fund be subcategorized into the individual parks so that each area knows how much money they have and how much they can spend towards their park. And if somebody could give me an answer to that within the next few days, I would really appreciate it. And if there's any questions by the commissioners, I'd be glad to try to answer them.
Then,
I'd like to ask you one question on the $40. We got a spread that's down in Mark Twain. Ask them what they would like in the way of a new sign, show them a couple of options. and we had Joe Curtis make us a brand new sign for that park down there, which was installed a month or two ago.
Okay. So then that will be subtracted from the Mark Twain. And when can we see what the totals are on that?
I'll get with Hugh Gallagher on that.
I appreciate it, okay, because I have had a meeting with him a couple of times, and I've never gotten an answer to that.
I'm not aware that hadn't been done, so.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Okay. So, for possible action and approval of, oh, Janet, come on up.
I hope you can see me, right? Just now I was standing up. Thank you very much. My name is Janet Hautz. I just wanted to bring to the attention, because I know that in the past months, last year's, that in the Treasury report we have a deposits breakdown as well as a bank statement. Suddenly now it's just appearing for a couple of months. I'm just curious, are we not going to have that? Because I know that you all have the claims and giving the breakdown on that basis. Can we have the deposit and the bank statement appearing back for us to review? Thank you.
Okay.
You need approval of number 9?
Yeah, we need an approval on number 9.
At this time, Mr. Chairman, move for approval of number 9, the consent agenda.
Okay.
A second.
The motion is second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All righty then. Item number 12 is committee and staff, and Gary. Let's
start on the back today.
What you got there? Didn't hurt yourself there, did you, big boy?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, honorable board members. Just a few updates. In this last audit, we had some concerns about a current contract we have for EMS billings. Our software, not making excuses, but our software is probably 15, maybe 17 years old. It doesn't give us a whole bunch of query abilities, so we're struggling through that. The contract doesn't have the person working in our office every day. So long story short is that contract expired in August. We've been going off a month-to-month basis. We are now going to pull that back internally to the fire department. You shouldn't see any increases. It should be actually a savings by hiring a less than part-time, no benefited position to do those AMS billings. That'll be coming out next week for advertising in the newspapers. This next week, we're meeting with the Nevada Division of Forestry on the 26th to start the transitional plan from the information they provided at the last commission meeting. And I apologize, I didn't quite get stuff quickly enough to Mr. Maddox to review, and we'll be postponing that information to March 19th now. But we're continuing to work with Central Lyon County on that transitional plan. That's coming along smoothly. Hopefully, we'll be on track for like an April-ish time frame to do some of those changes. And our BC hiring was advertised this week, probably be about 6 to 8 weeks to get all the testing processes done, backgrounds and everything. We'll have that position coming on board. And I'm working on BLM annual operating plans as well as our annual declared rates, which will be submitted to you on March 19th for your approval or for the 2013-14 fiscal year. That's about it. Any questions? Well, thanks.
15-year-old software is
it's more than that. It's actually 15-year-old software that's a single provider. So when something happens to her, God forbid, we have to go software.
And their replacement cost was $70,000, as I recall.
Yeah, the replacement cost, the first bid was $80,000, and that obviously is not going to work. So we're working through software updates. Stay tuned.
Wow.
Awesome.
Thank you, Commissioners, Chairman. Just a couple notes.
Hillary Marshall has submitted a special use permit for a small operations mine. The county code allows a small operations mine actually to take place with an in-house permit, but he's going to do some small operations processing too, so that requires a special use, so we're just going to roll it all into one. That'll go to the Planning Commission here. We're going to target an April date. I wanted to let you all know and the public know beforehand, as you may see some activity at the north end of town, just doing some stabilization work on the portal to the mine added down at the Sutro. So that's really all he's doing right now. He's not really mining or doing any substantial operations. So I told him he's okay to do that as long as he's not doing anything else that would require the permitting until he gets that permitting. Nature Conservancy, as I discussed before, has submitted their special use permit that will go to the Planning Commission. I'm targeting March 7th for that. It'll be for a river meander and restoration down at the Tracy plant, and they'll have about 100 acres or so in there where they'll redo the river and make it nice and do kind of a, you know, an ecosystem restoration project that also stores flood water for flood control. Last but not least, with regard to Comstock Mining, I know that they're working closely with the BLM. I don't know all the details and the ins and outs, but it's kind of like on a daily and weekly basis that they're working with the BLM that, you know, they think the trucks are going to be on the road this day and not that day and maybe this day and maybe not that day. They're getting to some final agreements now to the point where it looks like there's a potential that the trucks will disappear from the road or will be partially disappearing from the road. They don't know those details yet. We don't know those details yet, but it's coming. So I just ask that you and the public be aware that they're working with the agency and we'll be providing you updates as we come across them. So that's it at this point. Thank you.
And Mr. Marshall, this time will be looking for diamonds?
He's got his minerals he'll be looking for. Okay. So gold and silver and all that stuff. Thank you.
Denny.
Thank you, Commissioners, Mr. Chairman. Just a quick update. You'll see a lot of advertising both on radio and social media for our Rocky Mountain Oyster Fry. We actually started the celebration off with a tasting on Thursday there at the Crystal Bar, but Lance, we didn't see you there. Try some of those Rocky Mountain oysters on Thursday. We had a little surprise for everybody. It was kind of a fun thing to do with our new event promoter and our social media folks. To tie along with that, we actually secured a major sponsor for Virginia City. Liquid Blue has gone out and solicited a lot of folks. They're going to continue to do that as well. For some of them are specific to events, but Coors Light, Miller Distributing, has agreed to be our major sponsor for Virginia City for all events for this year. They'll be our signature product. They're also going to work with donating product for our beer crawls, wine walks, and I would also interested in doing some community events and also donating the percentage of proceeds back to our 4th of July celebration. What I handed out there to you is both a photograph of what we're going to be putting up on our billboard on the north end of town. It's basically to promote our new Virginia City app. I meet this afternoon with the developer, and we'll send our package to Apple and to Android to get their buy-off. We're looking at about 10 days, and we'll be able to go forward with the wrap on the billboard and then launch the mobile app that where folks come into town. Once they've downloaded it, they don't need a cell phone signal. They'll be able to interact in town to get hotel rooms, buy attraction tickets, where to eat, where to stay. It'll have GPS function in it, with some navigational tools, and then we'll be also to advertise and do some couponing in with local merchants on that. So with that, that's all I got. Thanks.
Can I ask a question of the commissioners or Danny? Is that possible?
Gunther Prosser again, thank you very much. And I would just like to, I appreciate the updates that the staff is giving to the new commissioners and the staff. And Denny, in the last four meetings now, he has updated you on what he does for his 20% of the tourism part of his job classification. I'm wondering if he could maybe update the commissioners and the staff on the 80% of the community service director part of his job description, examples being park maintenance program, the senior lunch program, internet upgrades that are going on, or the community support program for the community. So if he could upgrade, if he could update the commissioners on that at some point, it would be greatly appreciated.
Sheriff, you want to respond to that, Danny?
Just quickly, one thing I think Mr. Prosser doesn't understand is that since the day I started with the county, I've worked on special events. Special events are a main driver of our, and that goes within that percentage. Yes, I am reporting on that, just like I just said there. So,
Sheriff.
Actually, I was hoping for a bigger crowd today. No media here. Dale has left. And I was hoping that today we would have a packed house because I have something significant to say for once.
It'll be our little secret. Just a
moment. Is your apology again?
No.
We'll all be one up on the rest of the county, right?
I suppose. First is the Lockwood substation. I reported a couple meetings ago we were getting ready to wrap that up, with the exception of the handrails on the stairs and handicap ramps and the finishing touches on the parking lot. It's all but done. So we'll be having probably first part of March, we'll be advertising an open house. Hope to at least see a few of you there, as well as a bunch of the folks from down on the river and anywhere else in the county who'd like to go. That work has been completed primarily by Job Corps. It's been a great partnership with them. I may even come back at the next meeting or two requesting that you fine gentlemen give them some recognition. It's been great for them, getting some training for the kids that go through that program. It's been a great cost savings for us by them doing it just for labor cost, or for material cost, no labor. We're looking at a few projects down the road and partnering with them again. So it's been fantastic. Gary made me think of something that I'm going to throw in real quick before I get to the meat and potatoes. Got a couple of deputy positions that should be in the paper this week, or I'm advertising, looking to fill a couple of deputy positions, as well as buttress our reserve officers. We're down low minimal numbers on that. Presently, for some time now, I've been down four positions, two positions that have been vacated, and two positions that are on an extended medical leave. So hopefully we'll be able to start getting some of that filled up pretty quick, so my overtime costs go down, so Hugh doesn't yell at me for that anymore. But the main thing, and I want to point this out to you folks here and your comings and goings with the folks down in Carson City, and I would really like to ask all you folks in the audience to take an active stance and contact your Senator Settlemyer, or anybody else who will listen. Senate Bill 144, which is being offered by Senator, you know, if I'm saying this right, Siegerblum from Las Vegas, it is going to be very bad legislation if it passes.
He's known to do that.
Yes. Merritt Walker and Associates sent out an email to the four sheriffs here in the northern corner. We are opposed to it. I can tell you that collectively, as the organization sheriffs and chiefs, we are opposed to it. And in a nutshell, what this does, and I want you folks to be aware of this, because this is bad government and asking for corruption to be made. Basically, if I have a peace officer who violates the rules or violates the law or does anything they're not supposed to do, and I'm going to conduct an internal investigation to try and correct that problem, I have to present that officer with every shred of evidence that I have before I can ask them a single question. Now, I don't know about any of the rest of you, if you've ever been the subject of an investigation, whether it was an administrative investigation or a criminal investigation, nobody's ever presented with all of the evidence beforehand, because that allows you to get have the time to get your story down and make some kind of plausible defense. This is bad. This is very bad. And this is what part of what this bill the senator is proposing, is that before we can question a peace officer on any type of violation, we have to show them every bit of evidence we have. Imagine going to the burglars out in the Highlands that we had a year or so ago, and showing them, here's the case we have. Now, what are you willing to confess to? It's not going to happen. Flip side of that, the other portion of this bill, is that anything that peace officer says cannot be used against them at any future point other than the administrative hearing. There was several sessions ago, probably somewhere in the neighborhood of a decade ago, our legislative body, in their wisdom, passed some legislation that said any time a peace officer moves from one agency to another, that the hiring agency is entitled to see their entire background packet or their entire personnel file from the previous agency, good, bad, or indifferent. Nothing is a secret. If I go to hire somebody from Reno PD, I'm entitled to see everything that they've ever done, good, bad, or indifferent. This legislation will kill that. I will not be able to see any of the stuff from an internal investigation, whether it clears the person or shows what they did wrong. It'll close that door forever. So if you can actually get rid of a bad cop, they can just move from one agency to another within the state, and you never know about it because nobody can talk about it. So on many points, this is bad legislation. And the sheriffs and chiefs are looking to attack it at every angle that we can, and I'm asking for the support of you gentlemen and the support of the public to fight this.
Do you know
government in general should be an example, and the police officer's code of ethics says that we shall live our life as an example to others. This takes that away. This is bad. And any help that we can get to kill this bill will be appreciated.
You know when that goes to committee?
I don't. The notice I got was requesting responses within the week. It's a priority too on Walker and Associates, so it should be going fairly quickly.
I'll see if Mary might put it. I know she had a big list of committee hearings up this morning. I didn't look at all of them, but I'll look for that one specifically, do an online vote on it.
Yeah, Mary, it was over the weekend that I got the notice from Mary, but it was end of last week,
yeah,
when it started getting kicked around through sheriffs and chiefs, and I've not found anybody yet who's supportive of this.
And I'm assuming chiefs and sheriffs are going to have a visible presence in committee when it does get heard.
I'm sure they will. I spoke with Sheriff Vail down in Lyon County. He's the current president, and both he and I have already responded back to Mary.
Kenny and Carson, I mean,
it's very bad.
Right there.
Yeah. So, thank you.
Thanks, Jerry. Nessa?
Bill?
No. Nothing.
Pat?
Well, you know I do. On behalf of Mike, who is down at the legislature right now testifying on a NDOT bill that we are not fundamentally opposed to, we're just trying to protect our position, that would allow mutually agreed upon relinquishments of highway, protection of highways. Mike's done to testify this afternoon on that. We have had a couple of interesting issues, one of which dovetails into a comment I want to make in reflection of Gunther's comment on the availability of the packets. First off, we have had and continue to be perplexed by sewer issues, old concrete lines specifically from the 50s, where roots now are gathering their source of nourishment. So we had a major one there that he reported on this morning. And the big one, actually, that ties in with Gunther is during the massive AT&T failure last week, we learned that sometimes our technology is not, our good technology is not all that great. Our entire water delivery system from Marlette to the treatment plants here and out are all use computerized valves, computerized what they call SCADA, which is an acronym, but I can't tell you what that acronym means, but it's computerized data. If there's a break in a line from any smartphone, anybody inside the water system, whether it's on our end or the state's end, can shut valves down immediately. None of that worked, and there was a perplexing issue that the levels in the five-mile reservoir started to drop significantly, but those have been corrected and we're back up. And the reason why I wanted to dovetail that into Gunther's comments is Gunther, we certainly strive to get the packages out as early as we can. I assure you, and I hope Mr. Maddox and Mr. Morris will chime in if I'm wrong, you know, we were compliant with law in that the commission did not have the packet, and the law mostly states when they have it, it's considered public. We did not give it to them. And our real issue was total massive failure of the Internet and perplexed, if you will, by something I've reported on at least the last one, and I believe two meetings going into it, the last one referencing the problems. Our switch from our switch to Outlook service gave us some certificate licensing issues that we could not get outbound emails out to AOL or Cox addresses, and again, that was a problem in some of our certificates as they relate to posting up onto our own website. So we just didn't have it until either Thursday or Friday, just about. And Pat, to you, the only thing I will be more than willing to engage into a conversation with, and perhaps with Mr. Maddox as well, is I certainly agree with the spirit of your comments. I would also, though, caution you that I don't know that the commission can give a brief idea of what action would be taken because it won't be agendized. You know, these items really come out of public comment, and if they really give you any indication, then you're, I think, crossing that line of the deliberation process. But I'm not debating any of the spirit of what you have there. And last, we continue the process of budgeting. We are taking kind of an altered approach this year. We're actively involving Hugh Gallagher in the process from what we call staff modeling, trying to take a look at the full-time equivalents. This won't have probably significant impact on the departments that currently have 2.5, 3, and even 4 people in the department. It could have some help in balancing out the overtime. You heard Sheriff Antonaro mention, you know, incurring our watchful eye over overtime. Gary can say the same thing, and Mike Nevin, if he was here, overtime is something we constantly battle and find that balancing. But we're budgeting with a hope that the departments will have their cuts back and justifications cleared from Q of both staffing models and of capital outlay expenses and any other incidentals. We will always be heavily leveraged in personnel. That's the nature of government service. But we hope to have those cuts back through the process no later than the end of February, and for input and review by me and Hugh again and Jesse in the first half of March, and then publication of the budget packet as close to the middle of March, but realistically probably about the 20th or so, if we possibly can, with our eye on a tentative budget hearing sometime in early April, perhaps tied to the regularly scheduled April commission meeting. Mm-hmm. So that's the game plan as we have it right now. And that's it for me.
Okay. Hugh, did you have anything you wanted to?
Mr. Chairman, I was just going to touch on the Pat hat. So
okay.
All right.
Thank you, sir. Okay, well, that puts us down to item number 15, discussion action, second reading of ordinance number 13-246. And away we go.
Good afternoon, Board. For the record, Robert Morris. As I said last time, this is basically a housekeeping change to the ordinance. If I could just use as an example, the existing ordinance or the previous ordinance said that you would meet at 10 a.m. in the county commissioner's room. That doesn't really apply, so we've changed that to say that you meet in the courthouse, and as NRS doesn't require that the time be put in the ordinance, we've taken that out. So there are changes that basically have your procedure comply with NRS, and so I would just ask that you approve it unless there's any questions I can answer.
I read it, and all of your changes make perfectly good sense to me. It's like Bob says, it's just an administrative type thing. So,
Bob, did I understand that that the rewrite allows the commission to hold off-site commission hearing if pre-advertised?
Yes, it does. I think under the existing ordinance, you probably could have, but now it makes it very clear that you can meet out of this building as long as you give proper notice ahead of time and 2 weeks published notice. Then I think it just makes it clear that it's possible.
So, in other words, we could meet in the outlying neighborhoods?
Yes.
Periodically.
Yeah. Yes.
That's a nice
change. Yeah, it just clarifies that, makes that a lot more.
You can't vote on land issues
yeah.
in other districts if you're
yeah.
out of the city.
Right.
Right.
You can't vote on the land issues in those districts. You're busy.
Of any district outside of Virginia City, the way I read it.
Yeah.
Bob,
that's correct. On land use issues only, that if you're outside of the area, you can't vote on it. If you're in the area that affects the land use decision, you can vote for it there. So say if you went down to Mark Twain, you could vote on a subdivision in Mark Twain, theoretically.
All righty. Thanks, Bob.
I would take a motion to approve.
Public comment?
Mark, you have a comment?
Mark Joseph Phillips, Virginia City resident. This is the discussion before the second reading of ordinance number 13-246. First of all, I'd like to thank Mr. Morris and the staff at the district attorney's office. This is the kind of very encouraging step forward in cleaning up some old ordinances that are a little bit illegible, misleading, obsolete, all kinds of those things. But I went to read this ordinance again this morning, and the first paragraph doesn't quite read right. There's a history of the number of commissioners in Story County dating back to 1800. Now, I don't know if it's a clerical error or what. My concern is just grammar, grammatical, and how it reads. It just seems to be. If I don't have it with me, does somebody have a copy? If I read the first paragraph, it just doesn't read right. Thank you.
And I can say that that information basically came from the clerk's office, and while it's not really legal, it's some of the history that I thought was important to include, just to have folks know that there was a five-member commission at one point, and...
Okay, three-member board began on November 4th, 1884, having been reduced from a five-member board that began in 1867. From 1862 to 1867, there was a three-member board. Excuse me, this is my mistake. Okay.
Sorry.
I appreciate this, and like Mr. Beach said, and others have said, there's a process for taking this board of commissioners from three-member board to a five-member board. Either this residents of Story County can pass a petition initiative, or one of the three commissioners could sponsor resolution.
Have any idea why they might have gone from five down to three?
Pardon?
Do you have any idea why they might have gone from five down to three in 1800?
It sounds like 1800.
Huh?
It sounds like it was in the 1800s.
Yeah, it was in 1885. Do you know why they switched from five to three?
Yeah. So, in future...
I guess he's not going to answer the question, is he?
No.
Do you know why they went from five to three, Mark?
Well, my research shows that the counties that have the equivalent population of Story County have gone to five commissioners in recent history, so... I'll get back to you on the reasons they went from three to five.
I'll just tell you the answer, because the population went spiraling down, and,
There was like...
No point to have five.
12,000 people right down in my neck of the woods, right where I live, so...
All right. Okay, Janet, thank you. Yep.
Thanks to you, Mr. Morris. I appreciate it.
I could have... Maybe have... 10 or 12 commissioners, huh?
Gunther Prosser from the River District, and I too want to thank the board for putting this resolution ordinance through, because I think it will benefit the public, and it will get you folks down into different areas of our community. And again, thank you very much for doing this. But I too, like Mark and Dale, are saying if you could go through this ordinance 13-246 and just go ahead and change the threes to fives, that would be greatly appreciated. Thank you very much for your great work.
And for you, Gunther, and for anyone else, remember that any time anyone wants, the three of us, along with whoever from staff wants to, we can go down and sit down and talk with you in any of the four or five major population areas of the county. That's always been possible. We just post a note.
But basically, we have basically five districts in this county. We have the Mark Twain, yeah. We have the River, yeah. We have Virginia City. And to have a representative from each area, I think, would behoove us tremendously.
You guys need to realize you have to kind of invite us, or give us a call or whatever, and we all serve at large, so it doesn't make any difference which one of us goes.
Just the quorum being three votes to five.
All three of us can be there if you wish.
The state of Nevada has six counties that have three commissioners, has nine counties that have five commissioners, one county that has seven commissioners. And then, of course, we have Carson City that's in at large. So I don't see where there would be a problem with having five commissioners, but I do appreciate your input.
Okay. Any more comments on that one? Looking for a motion.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
Move to approve number 15 on this. Second reading of ordinance number 13-246.
I second that motion.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. All righty. So we have got the next four items are going to be continued, and that puts us up to item number 21, which is licensing code. And we've got a whopping three of them there.
All right, Chairman, Commissioners, Community Development Department recommends that all items are approved, and it would be A, B, and C, Nevada Biomass, Virginia City Baked Goods, and Brookstone Development.
Okay.
Their inspections are completed, and they're ready to go.
Working for a motion now.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Move for approval of item number 21, second readings of business licenses.
Okay.
I would second the motion.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Board's comment.
Thank you.
Commissioner Gilman.
When you guys approve the agenda, you exclude way into the vote. I have no comments, but thank you.
Marshall?
Just one thing to bring up, since it's been brought up several times today about increasing the board from 3 to 5. The discussion that I have with everybody all the time and in this meeting is cutting our budget, reducing spending, and by increasing the board from 3 to 5 is going to be an increase in budget. You'll be having 2 more elected officials, and you have 2 more people. It's probably going to require additional staff.
Yeah.
So I'm just throwing that out there that if you hire more people, it's going to cost more money.
Yeah. Probably to the tune of 150 grand by the time you figure in all of the stuff on it. I've been having a lot of fun playing with the kids in Carson, and a lot of really good bills coming up. So stay tuned. Okay, I guess we're done.